What Jesus teaches us in today's gospel is one of those parables that can rock our world and challenge our worldly way of thinking. And frankly, that is one of its purposes, that we're tempted to side with the laborers who've worked the longest, thinking that they deserve to be paid more than those who've worked only for an hour, to think that the landowner is being unfair in what he does. But we need to think very carefully before asking God to be fair. And what we really should ask of God is that he be merciful. For if he was fair, we all would be in hell right now. And we have no innate capacity to stand before God in justice, in pure justice. We simply can't measure up. We're not equals with God. He is above us. We can't match him. It's only grace and mercy that will win the day for us. And so we need to be very careful about challenging God's fairness. In fact, when we see him being merciful to someone else, we ought to rejoice, because it means that we ourselves might stand a chance, that we ourselves might receive that same mercy. There's other aspects about this gospel that are also important to learn from, about what it means to be a disciple, of what discipleship entails. And it starts out talking about this landowner who went out at dawn to hire laborers to work in his vineyard. And later he went out again and found others standing idle. Why do you stand here all day idle? And what's described here are day workers or day laborers. And these are men who stood in public places, like the marketplace, as said in the parable, hoping to be hired for the day. It was a tough life. It still is a tough life for those who are day workers even today. If you worked, you ate. If you didn't, you might have little or nothing to eat that night. They were hired on a day-to-day basis, only when needed. This is a particularly burdensome form of poverty, for its uncertainty and instability. Men like these were the poorest of the poor at that time. Notice, however, that their poverty, their hunger, makes them available. That each morning they show up, are ready, are available to be hired. Their poverty also motivates them to seek out the landowner to indicate that they are ready and willing to work. The well-fed and the otherwise employed don't show up. They're not available. There's something about poverty that makes these men available. Because their cup is empty, they are willing to recognize it needs to be filled. We are these men. We are the poor who depend upon God for everything. And sometimes we don't want to admit it, but we are. Every now and then, it is made plain to us how poor, how vulnerable, how needy we really are with God. And this tends to make us to reach out, to seek out God, to beg him for what we need in our lives. Then our emptiness, our pain, our poverty, our powerlessness, suddenly there's room for God in our lives. Suddenly our glass, our cup, which is so often filled with the world, is empty enough for God to find room in it. Then in our pain, we stand ready for God to usher us into the vineyard of his kingdom. It's our troubles that make us get up, to go out with the poor, to seek our Lord, to be available for him. And when things are going too well, heaven knows where we are to be found. Yes, we might wish for that trouble-free life. But then where would we be? Would we be seeking our Lord? Would we make ourselves available to God? Would we ever call on him? Would we ever hear him calling us to labor in his vineyard. The landowner tells them, go into my vineyard. And he sent them into his vineyard. Notice that's the landowner who calls the shots. He's the one who says, yes, you work and it's going to be for this wage that you're going to work. But too many who call themselves the Lord's disciples rush into his vineyard with great ideas and grand projects that they never really ask God about them. They never ask, what is it that you want me to do? What is the work you have assigned me to do? This passage teaches us that entrance into the vineyard requires the owner's permission. If we expect to see the fruits, to see the payments for the work at the end of the day, we have to be on the list of approved workers, doing the approved work. That fruitful discipleship is based on a call from our Lord. And Scripture says, unless the Lord builds the house, they that labor to build it labor in vain. That too many people run off and get married, take new jobs, accept promotions, start projects, and so forth, without ever asking God, is this the plan you have for my life? Is this what you need me to do to build up your kingdom of heaven here on earth? That true discipleship requires the Lord's call to us first. Go into my vineyard. That we might have a bright idea, we need to ask God first about it then. To discern his call with the church. To go to a trusted friend to ask them for that help. Is this something I should be doing with my life? Is this what God has intended for me? At the vineyard, that landowner, he goes out a lot. He calls us at different times, going out at dawn, at 9, at noon, at 3 and 5 p.m. We may wonder why God calls some earlier and others later in the day, but it's none of our business. The point is that he does call at different times. He calls out to everyone. Even those whom he calls early are not always asked to do everything right now. There's timing to discipleship. Then Moses thought he was ready when he was 40, and in his haste he murdered a man to help set the Israelites free, getting upset at their slavery. And God said, not now, and made him wait until he was 80 to help set his people free. That sometimes we've got something we want to do, but God says, not yet. We think, but Lord, this is a great project. Many are going to benefit from it. But the Lord says, not yet. We say, but Lord, I'm ready to do it now. And God says, not yet. That sometimes we think we're ready, but really we are not. God is preparing us. He's preparing us for something we can't handle right now. He's making us ready just because he cares. He's providing us with what we will need to carry out the next matter in our lives. God is preparing us. This is what St. Camillus de Lillis experienced in his own life. Born in 1550, he ended the army along with his father, starting to serve in the army at the age of 13 or 14. Right, that he had a great temper. And he ended up being a rather good soldier, but he ends up starting to gambling more and more. Eventually he gets wounded and he has to leave the army because of his wound, which leads him to encounter the Franciscans. And encountering the Franciscans, he decides he wants to join them. And then he joins them, and he begins to study with them before he makes his final profession. But his wound continues to bother him. And so they tell him he has to leave. And so he leaves, and he joins the army again, serves in the army again, but his gambling gets too much. And he has to leave because of his gambling, because he has no money. And so again, he goes back to the Franciscans. And the Franciscans look at him and say, "Your health hasn't improved. You can't enter with us." So he ends up going to the city of Rome and starts to serve in a hospital, working with the poor, working with the sick, taking care of them. Eventually, in doing that, he is ordained a priest, founds his own religious order. That God had been telling him, "Not yet, not yet, wait." And then eventually God said, "Now is the time. Now you are ready to be that priest, to found this religious order I need, serving the sick in the hospitals of Rome." That is what God prepared for him. What is God preparing for us? That eventually we're going to come to the end of our lives, and we all want to go to heaven. That when it was evening, that owner summons all the laborers together to give them their pay, beginning with the last and ending with the first. Notice that the wages are paid in the evening. That the order is determined by the landowner of who's going to be paid first and who's going to be paid last. The lesson is simple. We've got to stay in the vineyard. That some people start doing things and do not finish them. But if you're not there until the end of the day, there is no pay. If we're not here living out our Christian lives until the end of our lives, there is no pay. That Scripture says we must persevere. But he who perseveres to the end will be saved. To those who by persistence in doing good works seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. We need to persevere so that when we have done the will of God, we will receive what he has promised. Yes, we must work until evening comes. Saying that we've had faith, received all of our sacraments when we were young, will not suffice. We have to work until evening. We have to persevere and stay the course. And not grumble at what is paid, like those first laborers of the day grumbled. We bore the heat of the day and burdens thereof. And those first laborers hired early think their entrance into the vineyard and its labors as a burden. The vineyard, of course, is the kingdom of God, as I've already said. The many lukewarm cradle Catholics consider the faith to be a burden. They think that sinners have all the fun. Never mind that such thinking is completely perverse. It's held by many anyway, whether consciously or unconsciously. Consider the laborers hired last. Were they having a picnic? Not exactly. And most were resigning themselves to the fact that they and their families would have little or nothing to eat that night. Similarly, most sinners are not living a carefree life, having that life of Riley. Their repeated lifelong sin brings much grief. Dissipation of wealth, regret, the loss of family. They had to bear that burden of knowing that they're a sinner, that they've been struggling with this sin their entire life. That if we accept it, that sinners don't have fun at all. That further, being a Christian is not a burden. That really we've received a whole new life in Christ, a life of freedom. Simplicity, victory over sin, joy, and the destiny, the promise of eternal life. How do we view the Christian life? Is it a gift? Is it a treasure beyond compare, no matter its difficulties? Or is it a burden, a bearing of labor in the heat of day? Scripture says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, but a gift of God." The passage goes on further to describe our works as not burdens, but as something God enables us to do. "For we are his workmen, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. This is what being a disciple takes, as taught by our Lord in the parable. That yes, each of us have been called at different times. We each have those struggles. Then note well that our Lord teaches that too often we want to decide what it means to be a disciple. But He's the one who has decided. He's the one who has called us to be disciples, has set our hands to the task, given us our role. He is our Lord. Let Him lead. That we have to ask ourselves this week, are we a disciple who is glad at being called? The earlier the better. Or are we like the disciples who grumble at having to do the work in the heat of all the day? Is discipleship delightful for us? Or is it dreary? We need to ask our Lord this week to help us delight in the work He has set for us. That we are laboring in His vineyard. That we are building up the kingdom of heaven.